It's the Chai Cooking Corner on 101.9 Chai FM.
Hi, good morning and welcome to the Cooking Corner. I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's wife, and today we are going to get right down to the nitty-gritty, right down to business, and we're going to talk Pesach recipes, tips, all the exciting things about Pesach. And, you know, I'm not sure, a lot of people disagree with me, but I love Pesach. I find it relaxing. I find it a lovely time of the year when the family's all together, and my house always seems to be the public kitchen. And everybody comes and eats, and it's just a great time to be together. And joining me today, I have one of my favorite foodies, Meryl Elvey, who'll be in shortly. In fact, I think I just saw her walk past. And we'll be talking, as I say, sharing recipes and tips and things with her. And I tried to find out, I know that the latest, the 2018 Kosher for Pesach list is out. All the things that you can buy that don't need a heksha. There's a list out, you know, like eggs and things like that. And I try to find out, apparently there's going to be quite a few delis open. I know there's going to be, I know Tiberius are going to be open all the time. I know Doug Fish are going to be open. I don't think they're cooking. In fact, we went there last night for the most wonderful meal. Went to the Yeshiva concert. My granddaughter was in the play. It was absolutely terrific. And that beautiful bride smell coming from Nussbaum's, which is across the road from Yeshiva, almost drew us in until my daughter said, "No more, I'm banting. Please, we have to go and have fish." So we went to Doug Fish and chatted to him, and it was absolutely delicious. And in fact, this is what he had to say to us.
Talk to music, from Johannesburg to Israel, from sport to business, this is 101.9 Chai FM.
So I'm with Ben Rubin at the moment, and I'm sitting down to a delicious fish and vegetables, which I've heard so much about, that I've got to come here and I've got to try the sweet potato. But while we're chatting, Ben was telling me a little bit about what he's offering for Pesach. So let's go, Ben. What are we offering?
So we're not cooking. We're not kashering our kitchen for Pesach, but we've taken separate premises, and we will be filleting fish and mincing fish. And we'll be doing soles, and we'll have a whole selection of lion fish that you can choose from, which we'll prepare for use to be easy to pop into the oven and just quickly cook with instructions, so that you know what you're doing.
Fantastic.
And we'll be making fish cakes, which will be raw for you just to either pop in the oven, or you can fry in some sunflower oil. And basically that's our Pesach range for this year.
And chopped herring and pickled herring and all that kind of thing.
We'll be doing all the cold things, like all the different herrings, and so we're doing mock crayfish. And of course, we're doing all the different types of smoked salmon. We're doing Norwegian, we're doing Chilean, we're doing different size packaging, 200 grams, 500 grams, whole sides, quite a big range of that as well.
And snook salad, I see.
Yep. We'll be doing snook salad as well, that's quite right.
Okay. Yep. And well, that's great for me, because I'm always so nervous, because I've got to go the gluten-free route, so at least I know that I can come in here, get my fresh fish, and do it myself.
Absolutely.
Thank you. But if you don't want to do it yourself, then you can just pop into Tiberius, where they have got a fantastic range. They're open during the week, Chol HaMoed, and you can get it all there. I don't know. I'm never allowed to fry fish at home. My late mom always used to fry it in the garden, as most of you know. But so this year we're just concentrating on meat, and with me in the studio today, I have Meryl Elvey. Welcome to the show, Meryl.
Thanks.
I know we always have fun over Pesach, the two of us discussing recipes and all sorts of exciting things. And, you know, I always say to everybody, that people are bumping into somebody at the supermarket, she'll say, what have you done? What have you done, Sharon? What have you made so far? And I go, I have to admit, I've done nothing. In fact, I've only put on my soup this morning. And I think she says, oh, but you know, if you follow those things on the internet, they say that by this stage you should have done this. And
it can actually drive you mad.
It can drive you mad. I say, when you got the time, you know, my kitchen is out on my veranda and I just sort of, and out.
So some of us are a bit luckier that we have a Pesach kitchen, which means that you can actually just leave your house and go cook in the Pesach kitchen without worrying about having to Pesach dik. But for most people, they're only going to make the kitchen's Pesach dik a few days before Pesach and then start cooking.
Correct.
I've always maintained you can cook your meals in one day and finish. But I have actually been in my kitchen, I must admit.
I'm sure you have. I know. You make all these wonderful, delicious things. The jams.
I did. I made jam on Sunday. I was very excited. The interesting thing is this Pesach, there's a long Chol HaMoed.
Yes.
We've got weekday meals that have to go like for the whole week, where normally it's mostly Yontif meals and Shabbos meals. So that's, I actually sat the other day yesterday when you asked me to come in, I sat making a whole lot of Pesach dik, just regular family meals, like that you can just feed your family, because most of us freak out that there's no food on Pesach, which...
Well, you know what,
really
this year
true.
I actually decided that first night and second night and the last two nights I'm serving the same thing.
Always.
So I've doubled up on that and I'm not panicking about that. And the kugels I'll double up on and just one big salad.
Absolutely.
And so what are we going to eat during the week?
So I've got my whole family arriving. So we have like a full table every single night. So we have to have real food. I mean, it's gone other days where I could wing it and sort of say, yeah, here's a tin of tuna, here's some salad, and make yourself a meal. So the meals that I like have sort of started thinking about in my head is I make, and I don't even know where I got this recipe from, but it's been for years and years and years we make it, is a Pesach dik lasagna.
Yes.
Which I make a pancake, like a potato flour pancake
instead
of the lasagna. I know all the recipes that you always see have matzah.
Correct.
So we, years ago, I think, found a recipe for Pesach noodles, where you made pancakes, rolled them up, sliced them up, and put them in the soup. So I thought, might as well try that with lasagna, and it works out amazingly. So I use my normal lasagna recipe. I make mince with the tomato sauce. I make a mushroom sauce, which there's no oily whip, unfortunately, this year.
Yeah.
But I make it with stock, whatever. I make a mushroom sauce with stock, and then layer it with like a Pesach pancake, potato flour pancake sauce, and it's absolutely
brilliant
delicious.
Brilliant idea.
And the really nice thing is you don't need an oven to start making it. So I'm actually going to make it during the week, now before Pesach, stick it in the freezer, and that way comes Pesach, I just pull it out the freezer, stick it in the oven, and we've got supper. So that was one meal that I just thought would be easy to not have to think about.
Right. I make a lot of blintzes.
Yeah. So and that's the same pancake that you use for blintzes.
Yes.
Especially if you don't eat gebrochts. It's really nice because you can make them with the meat filling and fry them and use them instead of...
That's what I do. In fact, last year I made knedlach for the one half of the family. We'll eat the knedlach and then blintzes for the other half. Yeah. They didn't want the knedlach.
Oh, really?
Only wanted
I've
the
actually
blintzes.
Never made meat blintzes. So I made cheese blintzes with them before, which were yum. But it's a great recipe.
I've just piled them up in layers, put leaves, sheets of paper in between, and I pile them up. I do like batches of 25.
Exactly. And you can use them for anything.
Absolutely.
But you can use them for dessert. You can use them for pasta dishes. You can use them for soups. They're amazing.
Yes.
The other thing that I've started making, I started practicing it a few years ago. It's a little bit satskadik, but I love making it. It's potato gnocchi.
Oh,
we're a huge pasta family.
Yes.
So I just heard you talking about banting, so not us. We eat pasta on a regular basis. So I've started practicing making gnocchi a few years ago. And again, it's not a difficult recipe, but it is a standing and making recipe. It's not like just leave it on the stove and do it. But I've make a whole batch of gnocchi and just leave them in the freezer. And then treat them exactly the same as I would pasta.
So you freeze it before you actually boil it?
Freeze them. Make them into the little balls.
Right.
Put them in a packet, freeze them, and take them out and make them, like boil them up as I need them.
Right.
And that, if you Google gnocchi, there are 15 million recipes.
Potato,
flour, and egg. Literally, that's all it is. You just have to be prepared to get very sticky hands.
Yes.
But it's fun if you are... my way inclined, which means standing in the kitchen up to my elbows in flour, in potato flour. I love it. So that was a meal that we're going to make just with a basic tomato sauce.
Right.
And another meal that also turned out really nicely was eggplant parmigiana, where you coat your egg, slice of the eggplant, coat them in bread, not breadcrumbs, matzah meal crumbs.
Right.
Bake them or fry them, whatever your preference is.
Yes.
And layers with tomato sauce and cheese. Also, such a nice, 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 easy meal.
Okay, we're going to an ad break and then we will be back discussing more Pesach recipes.
The best part of your day. At the heart of your community. All the talk. All the music. All the news. Chai FM.
Meryl, you were talking about during the week meals.
Yeah, yes.
Right.
So, the one thing I find also is that we normally go on outings during Chol HaMoed. So I want food that's like they're ready to eat when we come home. So that's what I'm going to be doing this next week, is just sort of filling up the freezer. Meatballs to have with mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
Meatloaf, which is the same recipe, just made in a loaf. The jury's out on cottage pie. Half the family like it, half don't. But it's just a great meal to make and just have ready.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's exactly the same as eating it during the week. As during the year, most people ask me, what can I make for during the... I make the same food for a weekday meal that I would during the week, during the year, but just with sort of potatoes instead of rice or matzo meal or almond flour instead of... crumbs or whatever it is I'm doing. So those are the meals I'm starting to do. The other thing I've been planning is dips and things that I just have ready to take out for every meal.
Okay, so like a nice eggplant dip.
So eggplant is on there. I don't normally make, but with no hummus, so we're doing eggplant dips. I also tried a few weeks ago the Israeli kind of eggplant where you slice it, fry it with tomatoes and onions, and it becomes a bit more of a salad. I make a huge batch of matbuche.
I do.
Huge. Little tip I learned from my Sephardi aunt is olive oil and paprika fried first before you start.
Oh, okay.
So that the paprika gets a bit of a more cooked taste and starts... you can actually start smelling it. It's delicious. So the paprika fried with olive oil first, then chopped onion and chili and garlic, depending on your preference for how hot you like it. Chopped mixed peppers. I do just a mix of red, yellow, and green all in. And then for Pesach, just fresh tomatoes. So I'll probably use one of each pepper, so that's one of each color, and about 8 to 10 tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And you just leave it to... simmer away for hours.
Yes.
And salt and pepper at the end just to taste, and that sits in the fridge and comes out for
now,
every
can
meal.
You simmer it after you've fried the paprika and everything? Can you just transfer it into the trolling pot so you can eat it the whole day?
Oh, that's actually, yeah, for sure. My trolling pot's meat, so I don't, because we won't be able to eat it with anything out of para, but absolutely. You can. During the year, I use my pressure cooker, actually. It's amazing, because then it takes 1 hour, done, finished. I make a huge batch and just freeze them in containers. Pesach, the slow cooker is your best friend. That really is your best friend.
Right.
So I would just leave it as long as you can. 3, 4, 5 hours, as long as the longer it cooks, the yummier it is. And then freeze it in containers and take them out for every meal. So that's between the baba ganoush, the eggplant dip, matbucha, and avo dip, that goes on the table every single meal. It's like standard, the standard array of dips
standard
that goes.
Standard schmear.
I tried playing around last year with a few nut dips.
Yes.
Which I'd found recipes for. Nothing was really that successful. There was a macadamia nut, which is quite high in oil, with garlic and things. We made it. It didn't. It sort of came on the table and went off the table without it really being. So I think I'm leaving out the nut dips this year. They weren't as successful as I thought they would be. Obviously mayonnaise.
Yes.
Also by the gallon.
Okay, and you make your mayo. Tell us, give us your recipe.
So mayo, it's a bit of a thumb suck, my mayo, because I really and truly just throw into the food processor. I do two whole eggs.
You do the whole eggs.
Whole eggs.
Yeah, okay.
Two tablespoons of vinegar, salt and pepper, and get the most out the motor on my Majime, on the blender, and yes. then start just pouring in oil through the feeder until it's the right consistency. Sometimes right. it can be 3/4 of a bottle. Sometimes it can be a full bottle. It's very, yes. but I just go until it's the right consistency. I actually make it a bit thicker than what I want it to be, and then thin it down with a tablespoon or two of boiling water at the end just to get it, just to like emulsify it properly, and that.
Right.
Again, taste.
And it's also a wonderful base to add other salad dressings.
I use it for my salad dressing, yes. my normal salad dressing. I use it for potato salad. I use it for cabbage salad. I use it for my baba ganoush. I use it yes. for, it's like a base for absolutely everything.
Yes.
As I said, I made jam on Sunday just because there's no jams available this year. I mean, there's an imported jam, but yes. there's no Selwyn Siegel jam.
Why is that?
I don't know. Nothing on the show. No, they're not made. They didn't make this year.
Oh, no.
So there are the imported jams, which
I
are not
saw actually, that.
They're not exorbitant, but I managed to get hold of beautiful thing of dried apricot, of dried peaches.
Yes.
So I made a huge batch of peach jam.
Oh, lovely.
Which, yeah, I'm going to use.
So it's dried peaches you use or fresh?
Dried peaches. Dried peaches, dehydrate. I rehydrate them in boiling water and then a classic old-fashioned jam recipe.
Right, lots of sugar.
Lots of sugar.
No banting on this.
No. It's just sugar. It's just pure sugar.
Okay, so we go to another quick ad break and we come back with a couple more recipes.
Billions of people.
Walking. Talking.
Sleeping.
Thinking. Dreaming.
Breathing. Crying.
Growling.
Yawning.
Smiling.
Running.
Laughing. Trying.
Billions of people living. Billions of people listening. 101.9 High FM, your radio station of choice since 2008.
High FM. Stay relevant and up to date. Informed. This is 101.9 High FM.
It has become one of the most anticipated events of the year, and this year it could be you taking thousands of rands of groceries home for Pesach. Gratis, free, and for nothing. It's the Pick and Pay Harper Norwood Great Big Exodus Trolley Dash. So here's how it works. Every time you shop at Pick and Pay Harper Norwood, make sure you write your contact details on the back of the slip, then pop it into the box at the information kiosk. The name drawn for the Trolley Dash on Tuesday the 27th of March will get 60 seconds to make their way down the Pesach aisle. Whatever you put in the trolley, you take home, courtesy of Pick and Pay Hypermarket Norwood. That's the lowdown on the 2018 Great Big Exodus Trolley Dash. So what are you waiting for? Do it. In fact, it was fun the other day. I was at Pick and Pay and I was standing at the paying at the till, and the next thing here, Sharon Lurie, because they nobody knows it's Sharon. And I think, that's what do they want me for? Maybe someone's looking for me. And the next thing, a friend of mine is standing at a till further on, and she's screaming, there she is. And I got a beautiful prize, some Shogun, a twister, and a chopper, and a peeler, and it was
just as a gift.
I don't know how it works. When you hand your card,
you need to be a celebrity. I
don't know, because my sister-in-law also went, and she got one a few days later. Anyway, so it was great fun. So now, Meryl, we're talking about jams, okay, and all those lovely things. Now, this year, as you say, they haven't got all your whip, and a lot of people have contacted me to ask me for a chocolate ice cream recipe. So I'll just quickly share this one with you all. It's very easy. It's 10 eggs separated. You can do 12 if you want to. You know, it just depends. I normally do 12 with 1.5 cups of sugar, 400 grams of Parv chocolate. Now, it's very, very important to put 400, don't cheat and say, okay, 300 is enough. No, you need to put 400. And in fact, if you put 500, it's even better, because what makes it firm and hard is the chocolate when it gets cold. And then you'll also need just about 2 tablespoons of oil. And what you do is you beat the egg yolks and 1 cup of sugar with together, and they should really beat them for a long, long time. They should go on, you should beat them for about 10 minutes until they go sort of a pale color. And then slowly, just add slowly, trickle in your oil. And then while you're doing all that, you can melt the parava chocolate. And then you slowly add that to your egg yellows. Meanwhile, beat the egg whites and fold them in. And it's as simple as that. Beautiful. And you'll get a lovely, if you use a good chocolate, you'll get a delicious, almost Italian. Not as good as gelatissima. No, wait, okay, I can't compete
with
them.
I must admit, an ice cream like that, I add coffee. I think chocolate and coffee just are the perfect marriage.
Beautiful.
And a little bit of vanilla essence just to kick the flavor up a little bit. Yeah. But
taste
that ice
cream is
a problem.
Dash of salt, just like a few grains.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. I must admit, I make sorbets.
Yes.
We don't like using raw in desserts. I try to get away from raw eggs. I still haven't yet figured out how to do the ice cream without raw eggs.
I've got a recipe somewhere.
Oh,
I'll find that for you.
So I've made, I do sorbets, which are our standards. We do mango sorbet, strawberry.
Okay, with your sugar.
A sugar syrup, a simple syrup, which is equal parts sugar and water.
Right.
Boil it up. I've actually frozen my own frozen fruit this year. So I sat on Sunday chopping up boxes of mangoes into cubes, which are frozen. And then equal parts mango, whatever, frozen fruit, strawberries, kiwis, mangoes are my normal choice. Equal part and the same amount of sugar of this syrup. Mix it up in the magic mix until it looks like a smoothie.
Right.
Back in the freezer. And then if you have got time or if you've got the energy, take it out the freezer. Once it's frozen, remix it to get it to that smoothie consistency, like a freezer kind of consistency, and back in the freezer. The more times you do it, the creamier and softer your sorbet gets, but depends how much time you have. I like to layer them in loaf tins so that they're just there for each meal. I can just take one out with the three different colors on. And slice them up for meals. So that's just
best
one
way
of the
in the loaf tin.
I have to admit that my desserts, I like to have all done. I don't like they're all there, and I can just take out a variety. You know,
right.
I'm making it's between sorbet, a lemon meringue,
almond cake,
all the cakes,
Pesach coconut cake. I mean, there's lots of cakes to
Another
talk
cakes
about.
I actually discovered this last year. Is I made myself a Pesach flour mix.
Uh-huh.
I was really lucky last year. This year I didn't manage to get, but I had an importer brought in tapioca flour.
I know.
And this year
I haven't got it.
No, unfortunately. I really hope someone out there listening sources for tapioca flour for next year because it's the biggest one. So I make a flour mix of equal parts. Potato flour, almond flour, coconut flour, which is just very fine desiccated coconut if you can't find, and cake meal. And I just mix it. Equal parts of all of it. I keep it in a big container. And any recipe that I'm baking, any of my Pesach recipes, I just use that as a flour instead of sort of measuring out. So my brownies, my ginger cake, my biscuits that I make, I just use that as a flour mix. And I just found that different flours give it the best texture. So if you're making biscuits, like a chocolate chip cookie or something, comes with a really nice texture. You can leave out the matzah meal if you want it to be...
That's what I do with farfel, so you can
during
use that for your peach jam.
Absolutely. Make a crumble out of it to go on top of apples or plums or whatever you can find to make a crumble. So that is just a really nice mix. I'm trying to think of other interesting things that I've discovered.
Well, I discovered this year, I phoned the Beth Kosher desk and I spoke to them and they said that I can use some people call them chia, I call them chia seeds.
Chia seeds. Yeah, so we don't hold by that, but yeah, I know many people do.
Okay.
And you put them in water and they get gelatinous. What do you use them for?
Well, I want to use it for a Pasadena poppy seed cake.
Have they got a flavor though?
No, not really.
Just a texture.
But it's just a nice crunchy
texture. Yeah.
I love texture.
The chocolate chip cookies that I make, I must admit, I add because Pesach biscuits are very hard to get, that they come out to a nice texture, I grate a full bar of chocolate into the mixture with the chocolate chips. So you've got, double whammy of chocolate. It turns out to be quite an expensive recipe, so you've got to keep them rationed. But it made for a really nice texture of biscuit.
Yes.
Much more than, either they are very crumbly or they're very hard.
Yes.
So this turned out to be a really nice chewy texture with a grated chocolate inside it.
Now, do you do the, those wonderful, the matzah crunch. That toffee.
I tried it once.
Woo!
Just the calories that went into it were mind-blowing.
Yes.
With the fudge, with like a caramel topping and then the chocolate topping and then you sprinkle. So yes. I haven't made yet. I tried it once, not on Pesach, just to see how it worked out. I have had it at other people. Beyond delicious. I have to see if I've got the koyach to make them this year.
I'll quickly share a recipe that I've got that goes back many years. You know, it's an amazing thing. I just take out my Pesach file. I don't know who gave me the recipes. I don't know where they're from. So I can't give anybody credit because it's just pages and pages and pages of Pesach recipes. So this is for that wonderful matzah crunch. It's 5 pieces of matzah, 1 cup of firmly packed brown sugar. Now, I don't know if they're going to, if you can use the brown sugar. Last year, you were allowed to use it.
Yes, according to Arav, we can have the Salati brown sugar. I don't know if I should say that on air. Maybe I shouldn't say that live on air. But
you're allowed to
ask Arav. I suppose you should ask your rabbi how he holds about using pure brown sugar.
Right.
Last
year it was okay. 1 cup of margarine, power of margarine. Now we can't, I know that Fagels have made a power of margarine. I don't know if we're going to be getting any margarine.
Coconut oil works really well.
I was going to say coconut oil is fine. And a cup of chopped bittersweet or semi-sweet chocolate. And then for the topping, you can use whatever you really want, chopped nuts. I don't really like apricots and cranberries and that kind of thing with chocolate. I just like chocolatey toffee and that kind of dairyish kind of feel to it. But you line a baking sheet with parchment paper. It's very important to put the parchment paper down. And then you place the matzah in a single layer, must be single layer, on the baking sheet. And you can sort of break it up if necessary so it fits into the pan. And then in a small saucepan, you melt the margarine or the coconut oil with brown sugar over medium heat, and you keep stirring it constantly. And once the mixture starts reaching boiling point, be careful because you don't want that oil splashing out at you, continue to cook this for about an additional 3 minutes. And you just keep stirring it until it gets lovely and thick. And then it starts to actually pull away from the side of the pot. And then what you do is you remove that from the heat and you pour it over the matzah. And you spread it in an even layer with the heat-proof spatula. And don't touch it because you will burn yourself. And you bake that at 160 for about 15 minutes. And just making sure that it doesn't burn, check it all the time. And then after about 15 minutes, this whole toffee starts to get beautiful and caramelized, remove it from the oven, and you immediately sprinkle the chocolate over the matzah and it will melt, and you just let it sit for 5 minutes, and then you can, when it's really cool,
Crack it up, and it's like peanut brittle.
Oh,
absolutely
it's
delicious. Really delicious.
So that's an easy one to make.
And another recipe which I found also one of those like sort of nice things just to have in a dish on the side of the table, on the table, just especially for the Bantingers who can't eat matzah whole Pesach, was a Pesach cracker. Almost like a kichel, very similar. But I tried it last year, turned out really nice. You can change the flavor depending on also what toppings you put on it. The recipe I have is just with potato flour, but I will actually use my flour mix that I got for the almond and potato and everything. It's 3 eggs. You beat 3 eggs, 1 3/4 cups of potato flour or flour mix, 2 tablespoons sugar, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, and 1/2 cup of oil. Mix it all together. It's quite a runny batter. Also on a lined baking sheet, pour the batter on.
Yes.
You bake it for 10 minutes, 180.
Right.
Take it out and cut it into squares while it's still a bit soft.
Yes.
And then you put it back in the oven once it's cut to dry out for about another 25 to 30 minutes.
Right.
And when they come out, they're these like very crispy crackers / kichel, if you wanted to sprinkle sugar on before, you could make it into a kichel, sprinkle garlic on, onion flakes, salt, you know, and rosemary or something, and they're really, really, really delicious.
Can you give us this recipe one more time?
Okay, so it's like this. 3 eggs,
yes.
1 3/4 cups potato flour,
right.
2 tablespoons sugar, 1/2 teaspoon salt, and 1/2 cup of oil.
Okay.
And then you just mix it all together with a fork in a bowl. bake it on, again, on a lined baking tray, because otherwise you're going to have trouble getting it off afterwards. Yes. It's going to all stick and break as you try and take it off. So line your baking tray, spread on the mixture, bake at 180 for 10 minutes, take it out, cut them, and back in just to dry out. And
they really cover them with apricot jam.
Anything you want. It really is a nice base. If you do the classic sprinkled sugar on, and then the classic, it looks and feels like kichel, which you can have with your chopped herring, a sweet variation. But the savory ones are absolutely delicious. You do sprinkle, you could do onion salt, garlic salt. It's really nice to have it in a bowl.
Even
and
herbs.
You put cheese, any herbs. It was really, really a nice recipe.
Okay, good.
That worked really well. And it was just easy to make a huge big batch and just keep it all in a, you know, in a dish ready to go. So that was another nice way to
save it. Now let's talk about our Yontif dinners. What are you going to
make? So I always make, I'm very old fashioned like this, I always make three meats. Everybody shouts at me.
Yes.
But I just find I make once and those are for all my meals. So I make a big batch of, I make a roast beef, I make a lamb shanks, and I make a chicken.
Right.
And I just freeze them in different containers and take out for every meal. Like you said, I make the same meal, same dishes for all four. It's only four Yontif meals this year because Shabbos is over Yontif.
Yes.
So I do lamb shanks. I just find that they're the nicest and easiest to cook in terms of the amount of meat they have on them. I used to do a lamb shoulder, but I just found it too fiddly with the bones and everything.
Correct.
So I love lamb shanks. So I do a big tray of lamb shanks. It's an old recipe that from Myrna Rosen's cookbook that must be 45 years old. I think it was called Roman Lamb in her original recipe book.
Yes.
It's tomato puree, which I just make my own.
Yes.
Just mullied up tomatoes, balsamic vinegar, brown sugar, and garlic and salt, a bit of paprika in. You make a sauce out of that.
Right.
And then just pour it on top of the lamb and just stick it in the oven for 2 hours. And it's delicious. It just also caramelizes and gets rich and thick and yummy. So that's always my lamb dish. My roast beef is always a challenge because during the year I use soy sauce in my roast beef. I just find it tenderizes the meat and just gives it the most delicious flavor. So I've always played around with making a Pesach-tic version. Any recipe I ever want to make on Pesach, you just have to Google gluten-free of whatever it is you want to make.
All substitutes for.
You will always find the equivalent. So I happened to find many years ago a soya sauce sort of substitute, which is made with lots of beef cubes.
Yes.
Lots of beef cubes, maybe 5 or 6 beef cubes. It's got balsamic vinegar in. I'll see if I've got the recipe on me directly. Balsamic vinegar and water. And it's not quite soya sauce, but it certainly works in terms of using it in my...
I've got
my
teriyaki
roast.
Sauce.
Yes, so it's the same kind of thing. It's not as sweet as teriyaki.
Yes, yeah.
So my recipe that I use is 6 tablespoons of beef stock.
Okay.
So if you can get the awesome big
one
ones, otherwise
yellow,
6
thick,
cubes. Yeah. 2 cups of water, 1/2 cup of red wine vinegar, 3 tablespoons of balsamic vinegar, brown sugar, garlic powder, which you can't really get garlic powder, but I just add normal garlic, and black pepper. And you just sort of cook it up. And it becomes equivalent of a soya sauce. It's got that sort of umami
flavor,
salty, rich flavor.
Yes.
So I use that with lemon juice and garlic and oil and just marinate my meat and cook it in that. It makes a really yummy gravy.
Yes.
Sliced up. Okay. I found roast beef is so much nicer when it's cooked beforehand, sliced in the gravy and frozen.
Yeah, but your roast beef you're going to use with something like a shoulder or brisket?
Yeah, I normally use bolo.
Bolo,
yeah. That's my standard, or a raisin rib.
Yeah.
I like rolled.
Yes.
Just because I find the shape is so much easier
to slice
off because it looks
like
nicer when you've
beef.
Cut it. Yeah, so I always roll it. I make my favorite recipe in the world, your brisket.
Oh, yeah.
Just
okay.
My favorite recipe in the entire world.
And you know what I find, what I like to do, like for the second half, okay, so it doesn't, because otherwise, you know, everybody sort of goes, is this recycled from the first year?
I think your family and my family obviously meet during the week.
Yeah. I go, no, this one's got more onions in, and this I added more mushrooms to. Something like, something.
So we try. But so that's my beef. My chicken, again, really I do whatever. I often just throw a chicken into the oven just with sprinkled whatever I can find.
Yes.
Mixed herbs, garlic, salt, pepper, a bit of onion stock, onion powder, chicken stock.
Right.
I just throw it all on top of the chicken, bit of water in the bottom and stick it in the oven. That's my favorite.
You know
just
what I
make it so easy.
What I'm doing this year, just with my chickens, because I just find it so much easier, is I've ordered 10 chickens, ready cooked, roasted, barbecued, had them cut up into portions, and then they've just poured a marinade on each one.
Yeah,
different marinade.
So much easier.
So I can whip it out, it's cooked, because, you know, when they get hungry, it's instant gratification.
Need it now.
We want it now. So that I can just quickly pull out and warm up.
That's really nice also for I suppose, for the second set, because Shabbos is Friday night is second night Yom Tov. So you can cook on Friday morning if you make an Erev Tov Shilin, but you need to have something that's quite easy and ready. You're not going to stand in the kitchen cooking. So that would be really nice to just pull out and stick in the oven.
Pull it out, stick it in the oven, and
done. Otherwise, what I am going to do with my chicken is I've made my jam, which I'm going to use to make with a brown onion soup and salad dressing. And it's just a nice sticky chicken.
In fact, I was actually sitting at, we were talking about beef now, and sitting and watching my granddaughter play netball. And obviously the topic of conversation is, what do you make in Pesach? And one of the Rebbetzins was sitting there, and she says what she does is a brisket. And all she does is she just fries about 12 onions, slices them, and she said she just throws onions on top of the beef, and she says it is absolutely outstanding. Now, I've always said onions just
change
take it to another
That's really
level.
Nice for, I think, for the Shabbos lunch, like to put in the slow cooker. Just
exactly.
Stick your brisket in
with a
pile of onions. So I generally make huge piles of onions before in my slow cooker again.
Right.
I just put...
Onion marmalade
slice 20
is also
onions, stick them
have.
In the slow cooker with oil,
yes.
A little bit of sugar, and I just put the lid on and just leave it the whole day. And then I decant them into containers and freeze them so that I can just take them out. I use them for potato kugel, I use them for my chicken recipes, my beef, cholent recipes. Again, it just makes it easy to cook when you don't have to start from scratch.
Yeah.
It takes a little bit more effort before, but on
at least you can relax a little bit. Okay, after the break, we come back with a couple more recipes, salads, vegetables.
A frequency like no other. 101.9 Chai FM.
Hi, welcome back to the Cooking Corner. It's the Pesach version of the Cooking Corner. And I'm with Meryl Elvey live in studio. We're talking food. She, to me, is one of the greatest foodies on earth. And we just got a message here that says, what about pesto for Pesach? Okay, olive pestos, coriander and basil. Yes, they are. They're delicious. I think that some of the places are making up pestos. But Meryl just actually said to me that she sensed to find that her pestos go black. You've got to put some lemon juice in it.
Yeah.
And that does help.
Yeah, and they're delicious and on the gnocchi and on like in a
absolutely.
And salad dressings. They're really, really yummy.
They are. And just put a bit of coriander in as well, that fresh coriander and the parsley. And I put in almonds as well.
Yes, yeah.
When I do that. So that does help. So, yeah, you can do olive pestos. There's a whole lot of things that you can do. Just blend all your veggies together. But before I forget, there was somebody gave me a lovely idea. And that was, she said, you know, as the kids get a little bit tired, you know, during the Seder and whatever, and instead of making them drink grape juice, make some little, you know, those little frozen cups of grape juice and make lollipops.
Oh, that's so nice.
So that you can pass that around to the kids.
So nice.
You know, that's something different that you can play with. Okay, so let's get down to salads, Meryl.
Okay, so I'm a fresh salad person.
Yes.
So I was just sort of making my little bit of notes about what I'm going to do. I really cut up salads on the morning of when I'm eating them or the day when I'm eating them. So we always do a big green salad.
Right.
Just with whatever yummy vegetables we can find.
Right.
I always do a cabbage salad with just a oil and vinegar and salt and pepper dressing or garlic dressing.
Yes.
Potato salad. There's ubiquitous potatoes on Pesach.
If I say you've got two pockets of potatoes
not
and
enough.
Two pockets of onions,
I can probably go through 30 kilos of potatoes on Shabbos. We also do, and this is a legacy from my grandmother, Alva Shalom, who actually would have been 100 on Friday. She passed away 3 years ago. But we are a pickle family, so we always make a massive, it's my mother's job now, a massive barrel of pickled cucumbers.
Mm-hmm.
I've added pickled mushrooms to that as well, which is just, they're just yummy just to put on the table. And then what I've done, a friend of mine taught me, is I use a little bit of the pickle juice mixed in with mayonnaise to make a really delicious dressing.
Yes, it does.
Just,
Have you ever tried frying the mushrooms till they sort of, they get that golden caramelized look?
Yeah. Whole mushrooms.
And then you can cut them up. And then I add, you'll have to, first I fry the onions. Then take those out. Then I fry because, you know, they give off a lot of water, the mushrooms. Fry them till they're really brown and lovely and caramelized. Then I pickle them.
Oh, yum.
Okay. Oh, it's delicious.
Okay, we're going to be trying that. I have tried pickled veggies before.
Yes.
Just my family don't love them, so I've left it out. But it's really nice also if you enjoy them.
Yes.
Pickled carrots and mushrooms and all in a single jar. You just do a whole lot of mix of pickles. Pity we can't get
cauliflower.
Those kind of things. And also all the peas and beans you can't use on Pesach. Yes. So that's why I just left it out. So we always generally put on pickles on the table along with all the dips.
Yes.
And then during the week, what I do for lunches is also I put out egg mayo salad, tuna salad with chopped tomato, chopped onion, chopped pickles, all mixed in with mayonnaise. Those go in sort of big salad bowls on the table. And it's a buffet kind of come and eat lunch when you're ready to eat. Egg mayo salad, tuna salad, baked potato, also boiled potatoes that are just there.
Avo,
absolutely all the
salt,
different cheeses.
Pepper, yeah.
I do make a little bit of fried fish outside.
I'm buying out.
Fried fish and smoked salmons, also just to put on the table. And I generally make one or two baked gefilte fish loaves, also just to, you know, put on if we're having a milchik lunch or as a starter, with all the salads, go out.
Now, your gefilte fish loaf, okay, so you'd mince up your veg, your carrots and the onions and the fish, right?
Add a bit of egg and matzo meal.
Actually,
I've changed my matzo meal recipe. I don't use matzo meal anymore. I use almond flour now.
Okay.
I love almond flour. So when I started making gluten-free food, almond flour is just incredible. So you get the same texture, same binding, but obviously without the gluten, which is great.
Right.
So I use almond flour as a binder. And then last year I haven't made it this year, I don't know if I will, but we sort of made tri-coloured. They were really cute. We did salmon in the one. I made a salmon gefilte fish mixture, a hake mixture, and then I added some,
parsley?
Steamed spinach that I chopped up and added to the to make a green, and we sort of made layered green. You know, you see all these American recipes, all these magnificent tri-colored things. They never turn out quite as beautiful as those ones look.
Yeah, and the tri-colored Knedler.
I don't know how they managed to do it, but and the white fish is so white. I don't know. Our gefilte fish is not as white as American gefilte fish, obviously. But I just heard on your advert for Doug that they're going to be making. Was it on their recipe that they're going to be making gefilte fish loaves?
Yeah, so we'll have to bake them.
Bake them yourself. So those are the basic sort of salads that I make.
Yes.
I don't really do anything other than the fresh cut up
the typical Israeli salads and that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I know that I'm sure your family do it in the most magnificent, magnificent raw salads that you could ever imagine with an array of vegetables. What you can make out of cucumber and tomato just is mind-boggling.
I just like to have pickles and we eat a lot of cucumber, funnily enough, on Pesach.
Yeah, so there's nothing nicer than a huge big jar of pickled cucumbers. Make them now so that they perfectly ready for next week for a week and a half's time. Make them sort of a week in advance.
A week and a half.
Tomorrow's a public holiday. You've got the whole day.
I've got the whole day. You're quite right. Can get everybody into that kitchen.
Those are my salads. And then obviously the biggest part of our Pesach is my family always laugh. So everyone complains that they haven't got anything to eat on Pesach. We eat better on Pesach than any other time of the year because I make the cutest amount of cakes and biscuits. Whatever I can try, I will make. So we always have these huge tables groaning with cakes and biscuits.
Okay, so what's your favorite cake to make on Pesach?
Ever since I've got married, a shehakol chocolate brownie recipe, which literally is a throw in a bowl, mix it with a fork. I make it on Yom Tov mornings. I make it. It takes 3 minutes to whip up, and you stick it in the oven. It's a classic old recipe. I think I got it many years ago from a Shari Torah recipe book that must be 25 years old now. I want to see if I can just fan. I've got all my recipes here, so let's see if I can.
It would be with the potato flour.
Potato flour. It's shahakal, so you can. Okay. Let's just search for it. It's basically cocoa powder, chocolate.
Okay.
There we go. Got it.
Okay. So after the break, we'll come back to that.
Connecting our community. Choose life. Choose high. 101.9 High FM.
You're tuned into the Cooking Corner, and we're all getting very busy for Pesach and sharing recipes. And I have Meryl Elvie in the studio with me, and she's going to share her chocolate brownie recipe with us.
So it's 4 eggs, between 1.5 and 1 3/4 cups sugar, obviously depending on how sweet you like it, 1 cup of oil, 1/2 cup of cocoa, 3/4 cup of whatever flour mix you're using, whether it's just pure potato starch, I'll use my flour mix. So that's 3/4 cup potato starch, 1 teaspoon baking powder, and 1/2 cup of nuts, optional, chopped nuts if you like nuts in it. You literally throw everything in a bowl, mix it up with a fork until it's smooth. Don't overmix. It's a brownie, so you just have to wet all the ingredients together. Mm-hmm. Pour it into, this recipe makes 1/2 roaster, so you would double it for a normal size roaster or a 1/2 one, and bake for about 45 minutes at 180. And comes out the oven, you just cut them into squares, and it is really, really, really just delicious. So
and how much oil was it?
Sorry.
1/2 sugar?
1/2 sugar, 1 cup of oil.
1 cup of oil.
Half a cup of cocoa. And 3/4 cup of potato flour.
Or potato flour, almond,
whatever it is you want to use. And 1 teaspoon of baking powder. Oh, you can actually add in there, which I haven't got on this recipe, is 1 teaspoon of vanilla essence.
Uh-huh.
I just find it also just...
just brings
out the flavor, just makes it delicious, And this I can make every single day. It's literally a standard.
It just gets eaten.
Just gets eaten wherever I make. I always make ginger cake, which is so yum. Because of the syrup, it's just moist and it's yummy.
It just stays moist for 7 days.
Delicious.
It really does. Is that
really
the one with
delicious.
The tea?
I don't use tea in it. I need a recipe from you if you've got tea in it. A new recipe for me.
It's in the cooking with the celebrating with the Kosher Butcher's Wife.
It's in the Pesach section. Definitely.
And it's called Rona's Ginger Cake. And she to get that lovely brown colouring, we put a tea bag into the water.
Yum, yum, yum. Okay, so yeah.
So
mine
that's
is
an easy one.
Also a standard recipe. It's the bicarb. You mix bicarb with water.
Yes.
And you mix your wet ingredients, your egg, your oil, and you sip your dry ingredients, and then just throw it all together. So if you've got a recipe in your book, that's great.
Yeah.
Mine's a standard. Just the syrup is the most important thing.
Yes,
that syrup just makes it so delicious and moist. And
and you cook it at about 170, made an error in the book as 180 because, you know, all the sugar
gets burnt. Ginger cakes. And then I always make a batch of different biscuits. I make a ginger biscuit.
Mm-hmm. A crispy one.
Very crispy. It's a ball. It's delicious. In fact, I'm going to be a bit ambitious this year and try my weekday recipe, my non-chomet recipe. My chomet recipe has got ginger pieces in it, the ginger and syrup.
Okay,
so I've just been doing a little bit of research on making my own
ginger syrup. And that's a wonderful idea because you can use that for everything. You can use it in your tzimis. You can use it on your roasts. You can use ginger syrup.
So it's a really easy method. You just peel and chop your ginger into whatever shape you want, and then you blanch it in boiling water 3 times. Blanch it, take them out, re-blanch it. So you just want to plunge it into boiling water for about 5 minutes, take them out 3 times until they're a little bit soft. And then you make a sugar syrup and you gently just cook the blanched ginger in the syrup until it's, and then bottle it.
And you would blanch it in a niha.
Oh, you're good. You remember.
I remember the niha.
It makes it easier to take it out, for sure. So that ginger and syrup is just such a nice condiment to have to use in all the dishes that we use.
You cannot make enough of it because you can use it all year round in so many different dishes. You can use it in salads. I mean, there's nothing nicer than
a
cabbage salad.
The Ilova ginger in a bottle is so expensive that when I found this recipe, I was like, oh my gosh, it's a few pieces of ginger and about a tin of syrup. Like, that's what it is. It really is simple and it's really nice to have as like a basic
basic things. So our basics are ginger syrup and mayonnaise. So if you don't do anything,
and tomatoes, just, lots of
and
tomatoes.
Tomato, yeah, tomato sauce. If that's those are your basics for the 7 days. And remember, it's just 7 days. It's not sorry, 8 days.
It's not, a yummy 8 days.
It is, and so I think we've come to the end of our little Pesach session. And it's been wonderful to have you here, Meryl.
Thank you so much. It's always fun to come in.
And maybe we can get together again, Cholamaid or something. If you're not busy running around.
I'll bring you a
batch
of biscuits. You can have tea.
I know you go out a lot. Where'd you go to?
My kids actually mentioned to me that we should go to apparently the Lion Park now has white water rafting.
Oh.
So we thought we'll go and maybe do a trip there. But it's a public holiday the Monday. It's going to be...
maybe very busy.
Hectic, I think, everywhere. So you have to sort of be a bit, if anyone's got nice ideas, I don't know. We thought it's a Groenkloof to go for a picnic there. We'll see what's
yes,
nice.
Yes, I know my son goes on a hike somewhere up in the mountains, but not too far because of the kids. Nice, you take a picnic with you. On that note, it's the Eat and Meet that makes the show complete. Thank you for listening. And a good Pesach, if I'm sure we'll speak next week. And enjoy your cooking because it's fun. Pesach is fun.